We're always on the lookout for a healthy, homegrown, satisfying snack that we can eat on the go. Tucker Family Beef has just that snack with made in Oklahoma Tucker Family Beef Sticks, now available in two flavors, regular or jalapeno and cheese. Tucker Family Beef still specializes raising prime beef that you can purchase in bulk with halves or wholes that come from all natural, no hormone added, high quality cattle. Check out their entire selection at TuckerFamilyBeef.com. Since 1917 at Tucker Family Beef, it's what they don't do that makes it great.
If you build it, he will.
It's the Skinny on Sports Podcast with Aaron Cowan.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
Now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Thursday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Did you see what happened yesterday in professional golf?
No.
PGA Tour and the SSG, which is like sports something group. It's basically just a conglomerate of owners of other sports teams, like the Red Sox ownership group and some others, formed this SSG. Well, they have agreed to with the PGA Tour to infuse about $3 billion worth of cash.
Hmm.
The Strategic Sports Group. Here's how it's described. A consortium of billionaire sports teams owners.
Okay, so how's that work?
So they're going to infuse $3 billion into the new for-profit entity PGA Tour Enterprises. Launched Wednesday. Initial investment of $1.5 billion. Possibility of another $1.5 billion later on. I think the goal is to make it more like LIV. First off, give more money, because here's the problem. You've got a bunch of these tournaments that have been on the PGA Tour forever that are starting to get disgruntled, and that means that maybe their sponsor is starting to get disgruntled and leaving.
Right. Oh, okay. Yeah.
The smaller tournaments that didn't get the elevated status are mad because they're having a hard time finding good fields that generate the interest and the eyeball, you know, all of that. And then you've got the other ones fighting over, you know, if they are an elevated event, then they're paying all, you know, all the money, and it's getting harder to, you know, for the budgets of the thing. So this $1.5 billion should help the money part of it. But at the end of the day, my question is, does this get us closer or further away from a real deal? And a real deal is for the LIV guys to come back.
Mm.
So is this closer or further away from a return to normalcy with that? We can talk about that at the end of the show. Also, the Tucker Family Beef 8 for State. I need to make a rule sheet to post on our socials that everybody understands.
Rule sheet.
Yeah, not really rule sheet, just a
like how
procedures.
To. Yeah, exactly.
Here's how it works.
This is how we do it. Yeah.
We'll talk about that at the end of the show as well. Got some NFL stuff that we never got to yesterday. Are you surprised Bill Belichick appears to be without a job? And then the last organization standing outside the spinning carousel looking for a coach is Washington. Does that surprise you with the new ownership group? And then the Super Bowls. Rank your best five teams ever to win a Super Bowl. There was a list on ESPN we can go through of all 57. So what are the top five teams in your mind, or you saw, or you know of, to win the Super Bowl? Also, some college basketball stuff. Did you see Chris Collins last night? Head coach at Northwestern?
Oh, yeah, he went crazy.
Yeah, he did.
He went
and
nuts.
For good reason.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he had a good reason to.
I have some unbelievable stats outside of the one that everybody's looking at. I just came across on Twitter, and I didn't write down the account. This is an unbelievable stats that his team put up in a loss. Almost unprecedented for a team to do what his team did last night in college basketball and lose. Also, Oklahoma, women, upset number 2 Kansas State, second time in program history they beat a team ranked that high. And then the Thunder navigate the month of January with flying colors. I know there's negative after 2 losses in a row, 1 to the Detroit Pistons, 1 to Minnesota when you had a chance to win the season series 3-1. But by God, let's trade everybody that we don't like. I know. But at the end of the day, 17 games in 31 nights, 11 on the road, and the Thunder navigate January 11-6. Now, 28th easiest schedule from here on out. All-Stars named tonight, the reserves.
Mm-hmm.
We can talk about that. There's been a bunch of conversation because of Joel Embiid, the season he's having, but him getting really close to that 65-game threshold that the NBA enacted the rule. You had to play 65 in order to qualify for postseason awards.
Hmm.
He can only miss like 4 more, I think, for the rest of the season.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So.
How do they rule that? What if it's an injury?
Doesn't matter. You have to play in 65 games.
Wow.
You
okay.
have to play to be eligible for these postseason awards. He's upset. Tyrese Halliburton has missed some time. Obviously, his beef is purely money because of the season he's having. That he's more than likely going to make one of the 3 All-NBA teams, which then puts him in a position to make $40 million more. With the contract extension. So, what are your thoughts on that rule being enacted? Why was it enacted? And would it cheapen, in your mind, a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander MVP this season? 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That is 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. If we want to go off the rails like we did the other day, we can do that too. It's fine. Just feel free to chime right in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, stay in touch with the show a couple of ways. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the app. If I were you, I'd download the app. It's free, and it's got everything. It's got all radio stations. It's got the Penny News. Brand new edition of the Penny News is out everywhere. Go pick up a free copy of the Penny News right now or check it out online through the app, thepennynews.com. Big Elk and Paragon TV. We'll have brackets tomorrow for Class A and B playoffs. We'll have assignments for 2A through 4A, and you can watch it all on Paragon and Big Elk TV through the Paragon app. And, of course, the Skinny on Sports podcast available anywhere. Anywhere you can find a podcast, we're there.
Hey, just heads up on the text line. I'm really talking to one person here. Oh, we can't relay those texts to the Morning Animals. There's a couple texts came in during the Morning Animals about their conversation.
Oh, I bet here's what happened. I guarantee you he's got both numbers saved and he texts
the wrong one.
Yep.
Whoops. That's embarrassing. You ever send a text to the wrong group?
Okay, so let's think about this, Jared. Have I? Circa what, 2018-ish? We've got the Paragon Sports Crew.
Yeah,
there was a Paragon Sports Crew during the playoffs, right now, actually. Coming up next week or the week after. And, yeah, I sent a text to the group and our man Caden Biebrick was the only one that responded with just a cricket.
Cricket. I didn't realize I was busy doing things, and then I looked down at the whole group. I'm like, I read it as – I didn't see it as it was coming in.
Right.
I just read it all at once, and I was like, oh, no.
I was coming back. In my defense, let's see. That would have – was that district or regional? It might have been regionals.
Might have been.
I think it was regional final night on a Saturday. Elk City had played district on Friday. My wife and I were coming back from Blair We had dinner at Blair.
Oh, yeah, back door?
I wasn't going to say it, but yeah.
Oh, wow.
You know.
You're welcome, Backdoor Steakhouse.
So anyhow, we were coming back from there. Could have maybe had a couple of pops during dinner, but really and truly, I just clicked on the wrong group.
Yeah, it happens.
It does happen. It's embarrassing. I still feel bad about that.
The worst one I've ever done was back in my dating days.
Oh, no.
Back in the Nokia flip phones pre-iPhone, where you had to click a button 3 times to get 1 letter. I was dating a girl. Obviously, I won't say her name. And
No, please do.
She's from Elk.
Okay. Who was it? No. This will be fun.
And it just wasn't working, and I was texting a friend. This isn't going to work. I think I'm going to break it off. Accidentally sent it to her.
Well, was it really accidentally?
No, it was. I sent it, and then my phone immediately rang, and it was her. And it occurred to me in that moment, oh, no, I just sent that to her. So I just had to do it. And I was a nice guy. I didn't like to break up with people over the phone, but it's out there, so. Is that her texting your phone now? What's going
on? No, I can't.
I cannot repeat
that.
That's not cool. I can't see it.
I'll show you.
I can't. Come on. Shoot it to the text line. Oh, yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. Who was that?
Tyler Harrison.
Oh, yeah, wow.
He's appreciative. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, dear. Yeah. No, I think the accidental texts are always fun.
I think you actually had a Freudian
there might have
slip
been.
With
there
your
might have been.
Fingers.
Turned out it all turned out for the best.
And it ended up in a bad deal.
Yeah. Yeah. I've texted the wrong, because we have like big group texts for the entire parents of a team, and then a group text of just coaches, and I've messed that up before, but not in a bad way.
Oh, yeah. It'd be great if you put, yeah, geez, we got to move Susie for third. She sucks. And her mom reads it.
Or, I really wish Susie's dad would shut up.
Yeah. There's probably a few of those on that team.
And again, it might have been a Freudian thing. Yeah. So like, they probably need to hear that.
Real life is closer than we realize with some of those folks. Anything else you'd like to share?
Nah, I'm feeling
good. Everyone's getting a kick out of this.
Just getting it all out there. No, I'm good. I'm good. I actually watched all that OU game last night. Well, the second half. That was a fun game.
I did not. We had all kinds of stuff going.
I was Mr. Mom last night. Allie was out, so I was actually had it on the iPad because it was on ESPN Plus. So just, anyways, I'm in the kitchen doing things and kept just to have it on, look at the score, and kept. It's like, man, it's like 1-point game, 2-point game, like either direction that entire second half, and then OU holds on to win. That's a good win for him. That's a top of the lead. Like that ties him for the lead.
They're game back.
Game back. Okay.
K-State's 9-1. Oklahoma's 8-1.
There you go.
Crazy the turnaround that they've made.
They kind of faltered there, and now they've kind of gone on a run.
December 22nd, they were just getting done in a loss to Southern.
Yeah.
The Southern Jaguars.
Like it was almost
79-70 at home.
Yeah, right, yeah.
That put them to 6-5. Since then, they're 8-1 in the conference, 1-8 out of 9, and I'm sure we'll be ranked when the polls come out this time.
I was thinking about that this morning. I think they should.
14-6, beating number 2, and some of the wins they've had. Yeah, I bet you if they're not, they'll be close, and that gets them after what looked like maybe a potential disaster. They've turned it right around. Let's stay with college basketball. I mentioned Chris Collins.
Yeah, that was crazy.
All right, so Northwestern beat Purdue
right
earlier this season.
At Northwestern.
Yeah. So this game is at Purdue last night. A lot of people thought this could be a lock in the betting world, that Purdue would be mad and revenge and all that, and they might have still ended up covering. I never saw exactly what the line closed at. But, so, yeah, they won by 9, so I'll guarantee you that's a cover, even though it was an overtime game. So Chris Collins, I mean, I saw one play that people are pointing out was Zach Edey. A foul was called against Northwestern when Zach Edey was on the, like, the, it would have been the right elbow-ish with his back to the basket. He catches the ball. He turns around and puts his left arm in between the shoulder and the neck of the Northwestern defender and just kind of shoves him off to take a shot, and the Northwestern guy gets called for a foul. Matter of fact, I think it was Gottlieb that retweeted it going, if this is a foul against the defense, you can't guard the guy.
No.
It's impossible to guard him. I mean, he's already 7'4" or 7'5" or whatever he is. And then when he is making an offensive foul that turns into a defensive foul, what do you – I mean, there's nothing you could do at that point. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize the full context of what he was saying until this morning. I saw that Purdue had won the game in overtime. I was like, man, Northwestern almost – they're playing pretty well. Chris Collins has him in a good spot. Who – could hire him next, you know what one of those things. And then I see the video of Collins getting ejected, and I was like, dang,
it was like a second left.
Yeah, 1.2 seconds left or whatever. I'm like, man, he must have, there's something that was underneath his skin. Yeah, and then I see that Purdue went 29 of 46 from the free throw line, and the Wildcats were 6 of 8. 46-8 free throw discrepancy. I can't believe it took him that long to get tossed.
Yeah.
But it was such a close game.
Because it was so close, mm-hmm. they still had a chance to win that game that towards the end there. So that's why it's like, well, despite the discrepancy between free throws between the teams, still got a chance to win. So he didn't want to get give them more free throws by getting a technical.
Right. And then he does get tossed. I mean, he literally runs out on the floor and gets right into Courtney Green is the referee. And as you start looking on Twitter, Courtney Green is one of the one somebody actually tweeted this underneath the video. Courtney Green is the one thing that can unite all Big 12 or all Big 10 fan bases at how bad he is. You know what I mean?
He has a status.
People know his name, and that's no offense. But that's a bad sign.
Oh yeah,
when somebody knows your name as an official.
And exactly, and when the game starts and what's they're looking his name? And they look on the no one knows anyone else, but they see Courtney Green. They go, oh no,
what's the guy? Angel Hernandez. People know Angel Hernandez's name because he's terrible, not because he's some
not
great.
Because he's some famous.
Exactly. And
yeah,
so
there's very, very rarely any ref.
That's right.
Is famous because they're a great ref.
Like Ed Hockley, because he had the guns.
He was buff. Who was the NBA ref that I couldn't stand? He's since retired. It seemed like every time.
Which one?
He always made it about himself. I think he was bald.
Joey Crawford.
Yes, that Joey Crawford. Guy. He always made it about him. It felt like I'm on the biggest basketball stage, and I'm going to make this about myself.
You know, people didn't like him, and then you look, like, there would be sites that would, like, compile all the ref stats,
mm-hmm.
and he would be graded out the best ref every time. Now, I understand why people – you know who really didn't like him? Tim Duncan. They had major beef for some reason. Anyhow, but, yeah, you don't want your name known.
No, you don't want to be known.
So, the 46-8, that's rough. I mean, 38 more free throws is pretty amazing. And especially, like you said, the game was so close and went to overtime. It's not like Northwestern was fouling at the end. You know, I mean, that's just the way it went. But here's even some more stats that are incredible about this game. Northwestern is the first team in over 25 years in men's college basketball to score at least 95 points, to shoot at least 55% from the field, to dish out 20 assists at least, turn it over less than 10 times, and lose. You got any guesses?
That's disheartening.
You want to have any guesses on how many games teams had won in a row?
Oh, I could only imagine.
763 and 0.
Jeez.
Yeah, now you can see why Chris Collins was so mad. I mean, he was, and rightfully so. Indiana's going to get a hell of a coach. All right, the Thunder. the Thunder navigate January, 17 games and 31 nights. 11 of those on the road. End up 11-6, still in second out west after the win last night. They also hold the season series over Denver. at 3-1, and now they've got the 28th easiest schedule from here on out. I know we never really talked. We talked about how tough the schedule was going to be in the 5-7 nights and the road trips and all that, but we never really put a like a number on what would be successful for the month of January. I heard the guys after us or throughout the evening or throughout the afternoon hours, we were hearing, you know, 8-9, you know, 7-11 wouldn't, or 6-11 wouldn't be good. 7-10, acceptable. 8-9, pretty good. A winning record, fantastic. Man, you end up 11-6. It's really good. Even though there have been some times where it felt like the Thunder was kind of dropping off the cliff a little bit, Chet Holmgren especially, it seemed like he was wore down. Then all of a sudden last night, he plays fantastic, hits that huge three with 22 seconds left in the game to basically kind of push Oklahoma City over the edge there. But, man, in a league where you play that many games and there's kind of scheduled losses on the schedule, mm-hmm. being able to go 11-6 in that tough stretch in January, fantastic for a young Thunder team.
I pointed out January back in, what, November, October. That was the month because of the road games and how many games were going to be played in that month and the opponent. I deem it a success with the way they came out. And a little luck involved, and, you know, Jokic didn't play last night, but that's NBA for you. So, that's encouraging. And now what'd you say now moving forward as the rank?
Like the 28th easiest schedule the rest of the way?
Yeah, so to come out of it just one game back out of the number one from the number one seed, it just kind of gets you excited thinking, man, there's some obtainable goals here. There's a or well exceeded past those goals. You know, we had our own goals for this team going into it, and now it's like, okay, well, you know, we're still kind of like, when can we start talking about now what are the expectations? I know we kind of dabbled into that, but like what do we think now? Like, we're approaching the All-Star break. One game back, like I said, from the one seed. Very obtainable at this point, it feels like. You know, but you got other teams coming on strong. Denver's always going to be in the mix. Clippers are going to be right there. Minnesota's going to be there, of course, at the top. But what are the expectations now between now and mid-April when the season wraps up?
Okay, so this is a great question that I kind of thought about. Going into the season, I thought that the baseline or the expectation is to stay out of the play-in game, which means top six. Mm-hmm. Make the playoffs without having to play a play-in game. And then an icing on the cake would be if you did that and you were able to host, if you ended up in the top four. See what I'm saying? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think I would adjust that to now my expectation is that they will host. And so then at that point, the icing on the cake would be the number one seed and having the home court throughout the playoffs for the mm-hmm. regular season. And it's so crazy to think about the way the NBA is. We go through from, what, the end of October, middle of October, all the way through April. And you look at things through one lens for 82 games. And a lot of times coming up here in the next week, because the trade deadline literally is in a week from today, you as GMs and those organizations, they're making longer-term decisions off of what they see for the most part in those 82 games or however many it is up until then. And then you get to mid-April, and the whole thing is completely different. It's like a different game. Like, once the playoffs start, the game is completely different.
Right.
And so how can you – and that's what makes it so difficult in my mind, especially for this team that we haven't seen play in the playoffs. We haven't seen them play a playoff series. I get there was play-in games last year, but that doesn't count. Chet wasn't there either.
No.
So how in the world – and think back to those playoff games. Who might have been the best player? Giddy.
Yeah, yeah.
And so,
seems like a totally different team.
But it's a different game that they play. The Thunder haven't played that game yet, and so everything is based off of regular season, the look of regular season or the matchups in a regular season. Where then all of a sudden you play in the playoffs, and it's a totally different game. It's like another world.
And that's when you talk about playoffs and it being a different game and adjustments will need to be made and all that to survive a series. That's when you look at your opponent. Well, who are you going to go up against? And you kind of mentioned this. I wouldn't want to see the Lakers. I wouldn't want to see – are we burying Golden State? They could play their way into that playoff play-in scenario and win. And that, you know what I mean? Those are – and there's really looking up and down. Even Sacramento could be categorized now. They were kind of like that team. You're right, or you said a couple days ago.
They are the Thunder.
But
the Thunder
last
are them.
Year, they, and they got in that playoff series and lost to Golden State. Mm-hmm. Now they're like, all right, next step, win a series. So everybody feels seasoned as all these contenders here that were, you know, obviously Denver, Clippers, Kings, I just mentioned them, Suns. They're all kind of right there that we are used to this atmosphere. The one team I think isn't, along with the Thunder, might be the Pelicans.
Yeah, and Timberwolves. I mean, the Timberwolves got to play in a series last year because they won that play-in mm-hmm. game against Oklahoma City. You know, Gobert's played a little bit in the playoff, but the rest, a lot of those guys haven't. You know, Conley obviously has been in the wars with the Thunder as a Grizzly. But, you know, Towns and Anthony Edwards and the guys that have been at Minnesota, they really do. I mean, they've got more than Oklahoma City because you think about, you know, Shea and Dort. Are they about the only ones that played in the bubble?
In
that series against Houston, Shea and Dort, and maybe Kenrich, was he here yet?
I don't think he was here.
There's not many. I mean, but even then, though, my point is, even the guys that have didn't really get the experience because it was in the bubble.
You know, with TVs around them, yeah.
So Shea played a series with the Clippers his rookie year, an actual series, before getting traded. You know, and then the bubble happened and all that. But, yeah, there's no doubt the Thunder are the team that everyone's looking at wondering what are they going to do. And I think that's even got to include themselves in the management. So that's where I would caution. I know we're going to talk about it for the next week. Like what would be a cool trade or what would be the great trade or what would maybe put Oklahoma City over the top or you know, whatever over the top means. I don't know if there's a move that really puts them in the absolute contender category because of the youth. You just don't see teams go from not even playing a playoff series to winning the title. You know, the first Thunder teams, you know, they went from the Lakers series losing in six games the first time they made the playoffs, then all of a sudden they get a jump clear to the Western Conference Finals in 2011 that then went to the finals in 2012. Well, they skipped steps, but part of the reason why they skipped those steps was because Memphis upset San Antonio in 2011. You know, the 8 seed beat the 1, which that then allowed the 4 seeded Thunder to get the home court. You know, we all know how that ended up. So that was part of that skipping the steps, not necessarily because the Thunder did it. It was kind of things around them helped them to skip that step. But I caution anyone to be upset about anything that could happen. Either no movement or if your favorite player gets shipped out of here. I still err on the side of I think they want to see what they have in the playoffs before any rash decisions are made. Mm-hmm. And a big reason why is because everyone on this team is so young. You can put up with Giddy screwing around in the regular season if he's like this great playoff player, you know what I'm
right.
You know what I'm saying?
You don't want to ship somebody off, and then I think you've said this too. Go, man, why do we trade him? He really is a playoff guy. He could play really good. He wasn't done developing, and then we let him blossom somewhere else. But yeah, I'm with you. We can't overreact one way or the other. come trade deadline. And to answer my original question of the expectations, I'm kind of like, so you say you're expecting a battle for the one seed? What is your expectation? What's your final answer?
Right now, the expectation is hosting.
Okay.
They have to host. If they don't host, it's a disappointment.
Sure. Yeah.
And then the icing on the cake would be being the one seed. You know what I'm saying?
Got you. Yeah.
But that's just for the regular season.
I
don't put the Thunder, even if they are the one seed, I don't put them as the favorite to win in the playoffs. I think they're at least fourth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Behind Denver, Clippers, maybe Suns. We'll see what they get to. But for sure, Denver and the Clippers, I put ahead of Oklahoma City in the pecking order in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not going to say if they don't get the one seed that I'm going to be disappointed.
No.
But I'm with you. I think
I'll be disappointed if they don't host.
Where are we at on February 1st, right? I'm with you. If they can hover around 1, 2, 3, or 4, host a series, that's right now, I guess, my expectation.
Yeah, me too. And back to the idea of play-in, play-off, performing and not performing or whatever you have. 31, 10, and 9 on 11 of 22 shooting. You know what that was? That was Giddey's stat line against New Orleans in that win last
Giddey's,
year.
Giddey's, okay.
31, 10, and 9.
I almost said SGA.
SGA had 32. 31, 10, and 9. In the game they won.
Pretty good night.
Then it was a struggle against Minnesota, 2 of 13. So it's a mixed bag.
Sure.
A definite mixed bag. With those two play-in games that we saw from Josh Giddey. But that's just what I'm saying, though. I don't think you're going to see what some people want to see with a Dort or a Giddey being shipped until the Thunder can actually watch them play in a playoff series.
In a playoff, yeah. We've got to keep telling ourselves they are ahead of schedule.
The window may not even be open yet.
Right.
We'll be back.
Hey, Western Oklahoma schools, listen up. How would you like to win a $5,000 interactive smart display for your school? Thanks to Video Reality, an audio-video business in Oklahoma City, you could be awarded one. Here's how. From now through February 28th, anyone can text in one time per day through the entire promotion. The winner will be announced during our live coverage on the ParagonTV.com and Cool 94's coverage of the Saturday, March 2nd Class A and B Basketball Championships. Here's how to participate. The text line number is 580-225-9697. And in the text, simply type in the one word name of the school you choose to support. We are so proud to partner with Video Reality that through their gracious gift in this promotion, some lucky school will be awarded a $5,000 interactive smart display. Remember, send a text to 580-225-9697. Type in your school's name. It can only be one word. And send it. Limit is one vote per day per phone number. Good luck. Video Reality, your audio, video, and control experts.
The Skinny on Sports.
This is one of the most awesome experiences of my life because I'm getting to drop it right now. I can't believe it.
Welcome back, Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal, hanging out here on a Thursday. My man Dylan thinking a lot like we are as far as the playoffs. He's got, let me go back here on the text line. He's got Clippers, Suns, Nuggets, Thunder, Wolves, power rankings. I don't disagree with that. The Suns are the outlier to me. Just not sure what they're going to be, not sure who's going to be available. I wonder if the idea of the Suns is better than the Suns. You know what I mean? The idea of those three guys playing is awesome.
In practice, does it work?
Yeah. I mean, they are starting to play, and they're starting to turn around.
They're 8-2 their last 10. They were good last night. But it just seems like we've had this conversation back when Durant joined the Nets.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And we know what that turned out to be. By the way, did you see that last night? A couple of returns to their old teams. You had Lillard going back to Portland, and they honored him nicely. Fans were gracious to him, as they should be. He built a legacy there. And then Suns were at Brooklyn last night. KD returns. And they play him a tribute video and everything. He played like maybe 120-some games with them.
I wouldn't have figured that many.
And they gave him this big tribute video. Really? What did he do there? Besides wear a jersey. And
I can tell you what he did. His foot being about 2 inches too big gave Giannis a title.
Yeah, exactly. But they gave him a tribute video.
They were actually really good when those three guys played. They just never played.
They just never played.
They never played together.
I just thought it was funny because it happened on the same night. Mm-hmm. You got one that really deserved it. In fact, they gave Dame like two tribute videos, one for his accomplishment on the court, then a little bit later in the game, one for his accomplishment in the community.
Yeah, that's great.
That was pretty cool. And then this one, I saw Brooklyn gave KD a tribute video before the game and honoring him for his long, illustrious career as a Brooklyn Net. Come on. Are we doing this now? Because that's the world we live in. Players play on a team for two seasons and leave.
Especially
and all of a sudden
him.
We got to build him a statue. Are you kidding me?
Especially him. He'd have got mad if you didn't.
You're right. He would have complained and cried.
All right. So they've won.
On his burner account.
They've won, what, 14? They went 14 and, oh, no. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, 14 and 5 over the last 19.
Suns.
Which, on the surface, man, yeah, they've really kind of figured it out. Okay. Have they? They beat the Rockets. The Hornets, the Magic, the Blazers, the Heat, who, by the way, have fallen off the cliff. The Lakers, the Blazers again. They did beat the Kings at home, at the Pels. Pacers, Bulls, at the Mavs. Heat again, Nets again. Okay, really? Or did their schedule just get a lot easier?
That could be that, too.
Because in those 19, they played the Clippers twice. Guess what? Clippers beat them twice. The Grizzlies, I wonder if that one's before Ja went out. And then at Pacers, at Magic. So, I mean, yes. Are they playing better than they were? 100%. Have they become what the Clippers have become? Absolutely not. They're going to have to start beating better teams before I'm going to jump on the Phoenix as a real, true contender bandwagon. Even though they have all that talent. Obviously, with those guys, with that trio. Beal, Booker, and Durant.
Before we wrap up NBA, real quick, you mentioned Jaw. He's out.
Yeah,
did I miss something?
Yeah, he had shoulder surgery. Yeah, you heard. Yeah, he's been? Yeah, he's done for the season.
Where have I been?
He may have played 10 games, maybe.
I missed the alert, I guess. On
yeah, it's been three couple weeks ago.
It's because I was maybe just thinking last night. Why haven't I heard anything of Memphis?
Yeah,
well, that's why.
He's done.
He's out. Is Adams still out?
Adams is out. Desmond Bain.
Yeah, it's
has
done.
Been
Memphis done.
I heard they were talking about they being the Thunder pregame last night. And looking at the top six in the West and the top six in the East mm-hmm. versus starters games missed.
Okay.
So there was like, I think Gideon said there was 235 up to this point possible games missed by starters. And Memphis was far and away ahead in the entire league at like 130 or 150 or something like that. I mean, they were way ahead of everybody.
Yeah.
You know where the Thunder were?
Seven. Really?
And, you know, that's Gideon. He likes to either prove his point that the Thunder aren't as good as you think they are by showing that they get games against the other team's missing players or that they don't miss. You know, and that's a fine point that was illustrated there of how few games the Thunder had missed from their starters before last night, obviously, with J-Dub. And looks like he might miss Friday, too. But that may just be a case where I think it's the Hornets coming in tomorrow. That might be one of those very few load management type games for OKC, as young as they are. Are you surprised Bill Belichick appears to be headed for a season off the sidelines?
Yes and no. Initially, I thought when he and New England parted ways, whatever we're going to call it, I thought someone would quickly pick him up, but then now with obviously seeing the hires that were made, it looks like the NFL is in an effort to get younger at the head coaching position, because you're seeing these young guys have success down in Miami, the Rams, and they're trying to find that next guy, or I think teams are trying to find that next young coach that's going to be there for a while and keep him going. So maybe there's a youth movement going on. That's not really fair for Belichick, but I think he will return to coaching, but I don't know if it'll be this season because the only vacancy left is Washington. They went with Rivera. I think they're going to try to find again someone maybe. And is this a good or bad thing for Dallas? That Quinn is still the defensive coordinator.
You know, I mean, he's been fantastic.
Sorry, I didn't mean to
outside
go
of
off the no, answer your question, but
he's been fantastic outside of a couple of games. The problem is, a couple of those games have been in the playoffs.
Playoffs, yeah. Belichick though will return. I think he'll set a year, and then he'll be back.
That's where I thought you meant Dallas, that he would be their coach next year.
Oh well, who knows? I mean, I guess Jerry on this radio show.
Oh yeah.
Said that, yeah, we work well. We would work well together, kind of planting that seed. Like, if this doesn't work this year, next year, he's going to be my guy.
I told Jim yesterday when they were picking on Jerry, I texted him, said it wasn't fair for him and Sam to be making fun of an old drunk man's ramblings on the air. An old fool's drunken ramblings. That's about what it is.
Anymore it is.
And once again, we're going to the Dallas Cowboy fan base is going to get accused of getting fired up in August thinking they're going to win something. Guess what? It's not the fans. It's if you listen to what that idiot says, okay, but don't lump him in with us.
That's true.
We've already talked about it. I'm not getting fired up at least a playoff win next year. They could be seven. I'm not kidding you.
No, I'm with you.
And I'm
totally
dead serious about this. They could be 17-0. Going into a bye week, into the playoffs, and I'm still going to be sitting here going, nope. It's going to be the most miserable season of all time because you can't even enjoy what – I mean, it's not happening, but if it did, you couldn't even enjoy a 17-0 regular season because you know what's coming.
And in all honesty, it was like that last season. I'm enjoying these wins as a Cowboy fan, but there was that thing in the back of my mind, like, this is all for naught. We're going to get to the playoffs and blow it, and that's what happened.
I'm not of the belief that you have to make the Super Bowl for it to be a successful season, but you don't get blown out in the wild card round at home when you've won 16 straight on that field. Now,
yes.
What about Washington? I'm actually shocked. Here's the deal. I think they had all their eggs in the Ben Johnson basket at Detroit, which you mentioned. Not only is the league getting younger at the head coach, it's also getting offensive.
Oh, yeah.
Younger and more offensive. And it feels like you got to have a little trimmed-up beard also to be able to be a head coach coach in the
Don
NFL.
Don Knotts via Miami Vice.
Don Johnson.
Don Johnson.
I'll say Don Knotts. Don't look like him.
I got my Don's mixed. Yeah, but... Yeah, you got it. And it's offensive. You're absolutely right. Absolutely right. Not the Super Bowl, but Jim pointed this out. The success in the playoffs this year have come from offensive-minded coaches.
And it has been that way for a while.
For a while, yeah. Which is why everyone gravitates towards Lincoln Riley becoming an NFL coach because he's this offensive savant that he's going to bring that style to the
NFL. I think that ship has sailed for a while.
I think it has.
I'm still surprised, and now you wonder, speaking of Dan Quinn, he's the one that it sounds like could get the – listen, Washington fans, you'd love Dan Quinn to be your head coach. He would be phenomenal. Yeah. Phenomenal.
Is Washington good job?
Well, that's the thing. With the new ownership – Here's the positives for Washington right now. Brand new owner, Dan Snyder's no longer there. They have like five of the top 110 picks in this draft. They have a GM that they hired, Adam Peters, that people love and think he's just great. And you get to handpick your quarterback with the second pick overall. So, yeah. And listen – before Dan Snyder screwed it up, Washington was one of the franchises in the NFL. And then they sold it to Dan Snyder, and he ran it in the ground for a couple of decades. But so I think it's definitely a better job than what it's been. And a lot of folks around the league believe that the ownership thing, the change in the ownership, has made it even one of those destination places. But it sure doesn't look like it. Now, Ben Johnson, he said this, that he had unfinished business after the way that game ended in San Francisco. And maybe he truly does believe that, when you look at the Detroit Lions, their issues with salary cap and free agents and all that kind of thing ain't on the offense. It's all on the other side. They're bringing back they're loaded and bringing back that team offensively. And so maybe he doesn't think Washington's as good a job as some of the people around the league wanted it to be or thought it might be. Maybe he's waiting for something else that could come next year. And I got another text about Belichick. 71 years old, a year is a long time. So I don't know that it is just a guarantee that he sets out a year and then, bam, there he is next year. Somebody wanting – age is a thing. You know, him wanting control and people look around at what he did as the GM at New England, that has to be a thing if that's what he wants. I just have a hard time believing if he wanted to just be a coach, I have a hard time believing nobody in the league would give him a shot just to come in and be their coach with what he's done. But maybe
– think.
So maybe it's not all that fun. Maybe it's not all that fun to play for Belichick. It's fun when you win. But, I heard this coming back from Chickasha. I can't remember the player. It was on the ESPN radio. They were talking to a guy that played for him. I can't remember who it was. It wasn't like Damian Woody. It was somebody else. But talking about how day-to-day, the New England way really wasn't all that enjoyable to be a part of. Now, at the end of the year when you're hoisting Lombardi, heck yeah, let's have fun for a couple of days. But as far as the grind of it and the way that they ran the thing, not the most pleasant place of all time. So, anyhow.
Yeah.
I think that's part of it. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. Let's do our Super Bowl stuff. We can talk about the golf later. That golf thing's going to be there for a long time. So ESPN has their list of the best Super Bowl winning teams of all time. They've gone through all of them, 1 through 57.
Crazy. List can keep you busy for hours.
So here's the question. What's your top five look like? 225-9698. Give us a text. Who's the best Super Bowl winner of all time? We'll talk about it next. Skinny on Sports right here on The Sports Animal. We're always on the lookout for a healthy, homegrown, satisfying snack that we can eat on the go. Tucker Family Beef has just that snack with Made in Oklahoma Tucker Family Beef Sticks, now available in two flavors, regular or jalapeno and cheese. Tucker Family Beef still specializes raising prime beef that you can purchase in bulk with halves or wholes that come from all natural, no hormone added, high quality cattle. Check out their entire selection at TuckerFamilyBeef.com. Since 1917 at Tucker Family Beef, it's what they don't do that makes it great.
The Skinny on Sports.
All right, welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal, hanging out here on a Thursday. Talking all kinds of different things. All right, so we saw this list on the ESPN website. And I'm not ready to start breaking down Super Bowl matchups. We got all week to do that.
Yeah.
And so, but Super Bowl is coming a week from Sunday. And this list was ranking the best Super Bowl winners of all time. Those the individual teams, the 57 teams that have won a Super Bowl. How would you rank them all time? This is, there's some of these that obviously we did not see with our own eyes.
Yeah, my five are in my lifetime, so.
Yeah, I put a couple that aren't.
Okay.
And I don't really believe who I put number one is the best team, but I.
Oh, I'm the same way.
I just feel like you have to.
I'm the same way. I even with all these five, these are just the five that, for me, like, these are the ones, if you ask me, without even looking at this list, who are some of those top five
best
Super Bowl winners
that
come to your mind immediately? So I'm shooting from the hip kind of from it, and then I just kind of went from there. So that's how I went there. I'm not going to dive into
why
the numbers of all this stuff, but
I have their records written down.
I did that too, and who they beat.
In the Super Bowl?
Yeah,
that's what I did too.
Okay.
All right, number five.
Go ahead.
I have, because it might be the greatest dynasty that we've ever seen in the sport, I feel like one of their teams has to be in there. And because it was the highest ranked on that list, I put the 1975 Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, you put them.
15-2. They beat the Cowboys and Roger Staubach 21-17. I think that was the first Steelers-Cowboys Super Bowl in that era. The next was later on. But I put that team, 15-2 Steelers in 1975.
I could have sworn when you started that sentence with one of the greatest dynasties we've ever seen. Well, greatest dynasty I've ever seen in my lifetime. One of the greatest is the Patriots. So I feel like I'm the same way. I had to put one of their teams on there. I want that 04 Patriots team, 17-2 on the season. And they won the Super Bowl over the Eagles.
So I've got the Patriots in a different spot.
The 04 Patriots? Or
no, no. I've just different? Got the. I've got a different category for the Patriots.
Okay.
And it's funny because I just got another text. I've got two extra categories of teams that didn't make the top five that I still want to mention. Number four, I probably put them lower just because I'd be accused of being a homer. In my mind, little 12-year-old skinny would say this is the best team that ever played football ever. The 1992 Dallas Cowboys, the first of the three Super Bowl winning teams, just demolished Buffalo 52-17 in the Super Bowl out in the Rose Bowl. 16-3 were the Cowboys that year. It was the first of the triplet Super Bowls with Aikman Smith and Michael Irvin. Jimmy Johnson was the coach, all of that. I've got the 1992 Dallas Cowboys as number four.
I went with the 91 Redskins, 17-2 on the season. Really dominated the Bills in that Super Bowl. 37-24 was the final score. I'm just reading the synopsis that they wrote on the – but they were up big in the fourth quarter, and they just kind of let the Bills come back into it. But that team, I remember before the Cowboys – now I was a first grader back then, but I remember that team was pretty much all you heard about all season long. It was the Redskins, the 91 Redskins, and how good they were, and they went and took the title.
So they're number one on this list. The 1991 Washington Redskins. And I've mentioned this a bunch of times when we talked about Detroit, because the year other than this year, back when Detroit was good again, was that 1991 year, and they had to play the Redskins in the NFC Championship game, and Washington ripped them apart like they did. That's a team that the analytics that weren't around back then love. Mm-hmm. And this list proved, I've talked about that people think that could be one of the better teams of all time, and now this list, using the analytics of Super Bowl teams, has it at number one. It didn't shock me. I think a lot of people forget just how good that Redskins team was. And then you see it, and you're like, huh? And then if you read, you read that little blurb, and you go, whoa. Yeah, analytically, people, I mean, the analytics, the numbers, people love that Redskins team in 1991. Not me. I don't have them on the list.
Okay.
My number three, the last of the Joe Montana Niners Super Bowl winning teams, 1989, 55-10, just absolute demolition of Denver down in the Superdome in New Orleans in the Super Bowl. All the cast of characters were there. Rice, Taylor, Montana, Roger Craig, all of them were there. And so I've got the 1989 San Francisco 49ers as number three.
Yeah, my number three was that 92 Cowboys team, because that was the team that started it all for Aikman and crew. So that first thing you mentioned, too, the dominating win over the Bills, one of the most memorable Super Bowls in my lifetime with everything. It was played in Pasadena, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Who played the halftime show?
Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson and
Leon Lett got stripped.
All that stuff.
On the way to break the record of points or whatever, to break that 1989 Niners record for points in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They almost killed Jim Kelly. There's lots.
Yeah. And I'll go out of order because you just mentioned
that. I think
that
nine turnovers.
The 89 49ers was my number two team.
Number two for me is the 1985 Chicago Bears. Duh, Bears. 18-1. The lone loss was to Dan Marino and the Dolphins, which ironically was the only team, still is the only team that's ever gone undefeated. And so Dan was able to keep Mercury Morris and Larry Zonka pumping champagne back in 1985. They killed New England 46-10. It's the gold standard of defense in the history of the league, along with, you know, you can – you want to say the Steel Curtain, if you want to say the Dallas Doomsday, you know, right here on the text line, the Ravens defense from 2000 was unbelievable as well. But the Bears, as far as a team, it's still crazy to me with what they had kind of kind of setting there, that's the only Super Bowl they ever made it to. It's still amazing that that team, that's the only one that they even got to, much less win. So I've got the Bears at number two.
All right, go give me your number one.
I feel like you have to because it's the only team that's ever done this. The damn Dolphins that went undefeated. I do not believe they're the best team of all time. I don't.
Yeah.
I just simply don't. But of all 57 of these winners, they're the only ones that have a zero to the right of the dash. And so for that reason only, I put the Dolphins at number one. On this list, they were like the mid-teens on the ESPN list when you look at their analytics.
I agree with everything you said about the Dolphins. I'm a big believer of numbers and undefeated wins matter.
I know.
And I totally agree with it, but they were just kind of, all right. My number one was those 85 Bears, 18-1 on the season. And just for that, I know it's a list of Super Bowl winners, but the seasons are, kind of talking about that season. It's legendary. Mm-hmm. I was 2 years old during that season, but you always hear about some of the greatest teams of all time, and the 85 Bears is always comes up in that discussion.
Super Bowl shuffle.
All of it, yeah.
All of it. All of it surrounding it. I have a couple of other little tidbits, a couple other categories. One of the funnest teams that ever won the Super Bowl to watch was the greatest show on turf. I actually got that text as we started. The 1999 St. Louis Rams. Man, were they fun. The story was just cool as it could possibly be with Kurt Warner coming out of – I mean, I can remember late-night ESPN as a teenager seeing arena football in the Iowa Barnstormers and some dude named Kurt Warner. Like, man, this guy can really play. Is it just because nobody else is any good in arena football?
That?
Yes.
Yeah.
The Arizona Rattlers and the Iowa Barnstormers and the you'd have to kick a field goal through the width of about the football.
Listen, arena football is cool. It was fun to watch.
And then all of a sudden, this guy is winning the Super Bowl. So that was a fun team. And then in my mind, the team that would be atop this list, if not for David Tyree's helmet, this is where I go to the 2007 New England Patriots.
Yeah.
The only reason I was forced, in my mind, felt forced to put the Dolphins at the top of this list is because David Tyree, Eli Manning, and that ferocious pass rush of the horrific – where did they rank on this list? I know Colts were the Colts that beat the Cowboys in the Super Bowl back years ago were number 57. That Giants team in 2007 has to be in the top three or four worst. It has to be.
I'm still scrolling. So.
This must be a Giants fan that did the numbers. I mean, do you remember the lead up to that Super Bowl? There's not a soul that thought they had any chance.
Nobody thought
they had a chance. The Patriots were already anointed as the greatest team of all time. The only part about it I did enjoy was the fact that those Dolphins old geezers weren't going to be able to pop open champagne ever again as the only undefeated team. And then somehow, some way, Eli. See, they've got the 2011 Giants. There they are, 53.
They're at 53.
They're at 53. So the fifth worst team. I would buy into that. 14-6. Yeah. But that would have been number one for me.
Yeah.
And instead, Eli. So, did you have one that you really just enjoyed? A team that you really just enjoyed that won? Maybe not a great team, but it was just...
Maybe the... What year was it the Broncos won it?
97 and 98.
Did they play Green Bay both times?
No, they played Green Bay in 97. They played Atlanta in 98.
The 97 one then.
See, in the 98, another
team. That game was, it made me become, if you weren't an Elway fan before that game, and I'm a seventh grader, a little naive, pimply-faced junior high kid. I didn't care, but after watching him play that game and what that meant and everything, that was just a fun team.
I always had a soft spot in my heart for John Elway because I felt so sorry for him when I was a kid, watching him just get thrashed in all the Super Bowls and really not have much of a chance.
They're on 19 on this list.
That's another team that could be way, way, way up there in the all-time, if not for, you know, upset losses. That 1998 Minnesota team, the Vikings. Randall Cunningham, that offense is one. It was at the time maybe the best one of all time, with Moss and Carter and Randall, and they go 15-1. And Gary Anderson misses the only kick he missed all year long to win the game. And then what did the Dirty Birds of Atlanta make it to the Super Bowl? Sure. And then Denver just killed them for John Elway's last one. But anyhow, fun times. There's also a list of historic facts that you need to know about the Super Bowl. We could talk about tomorrow. Okay. That may be a quiz for you and Scott.
Okay.
Most games played, most wins, most completions. I mean, a lot of these are going to be pretty obvious who wins or who is. But
hey, speaking of Kurt Warner, I caught that movie the other day, American Underdog.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's not bad.
I like Kurt
Warner. It's interesting.
Everybody have a great Thursday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way back, goodbye.
Tuesday, February 13th is the school investment election. The plan provides local students and the Canute community with a renovated gymnasium, including new flooring, new stands, new scoreboard, updated restrooms, accessibility improvements, and more. The plan also includes upgrades to the school's science lab to promote more hands-on learning and experiments. Polls will be open from 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. Please take time to vote on this important election, because your voice and your vote matter.